It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
It's spring here on the campus of Liberty University, and that can only mean one thing, that it's time once again to take a look at the recruits that have been signed in National Signing Day for Liberty Flames football. Joe Mixey now on the phone with John Manson. He's the founder and editor for aseaofred.com, the main Liberty beat site here in town. Now, John, we have a lot to talk about with everything that happened yesterday. You and I were both at the press conference with Coach Turner Gill and a couple of the other coaches on the team. We have 15 recruits coming out, as well as a handful of walk-ons and a couple of big position changes to talk about. Now, we'll get started with taking a look at who's new on the team. We have a couple of three-star commits, Keith Best at the defensive halfback position, and then DJ Stubbs, a wide receiver. When you take a look at a couple of those guys, Stubbs coming off of a very successful career down there at University Christian School in Jacksonville, and then Best coming off of an ACL injury, but we've been assured by Liberty staff and many of the people that have surrounded him that he's going to do just fine. When you take a look at those guys, what kind of potential do they have to kind of fit into Liberty's scheme?
Yeah, Joe, I appreciate it, you having me on. It's fun. I think it's been our third time.
Yeah, so third time here.
Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah, both those guys are probably these quote-unquote steals of the class. DJ Stubbs, wide receiver, he's also going to get his chance at returning kicks, punts. He's a guy that was actually committed to Florida International, and they had a coaching change there in December, and the new coaching staff apparently didn't want him, and that's when Liberty got involved and grabbed him. And like you said, he's a three-star recruit. He's a small guy. I think he's about 5'9", 160 pounds or so. So he's a slot receiver. But like I said, he's going to have a chance to compete as a punt returner, kick returner from day one. Both him and the running back, Frank Boyd, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit, are guys that Coach Gill said that he sees them both being able to make an impact, maybe even immediately in the return game. And as you mentioned, Keith Best, he's a cornerback, another three-star guy. Like you mentioned, he tore his ACL towards the beginning of his senior season. He had offers from SEC schools prior to that, and they all backed off, kind of got scared when he got injured. But you look around the country, guys suffer ACL injuries all the time, and they make full recovery. Sometimes they come back even stronger. So that's certainly the Liberty coaching staff's expectation and hope with Keith Best. He's a guy that Gill compared him to Chris Turner. He's 6'2", 6'3", long, really tall. He's a guy that could, has the potential to be, one of the best defensive backs to ever play at Liberty, up there with Chris Turner, Kevin Fogg, Walt Akins type, as long as he's able to fully recover from that injury. So it wouldn't be a shock if he redshirts, his freshman season to have another year to have his knee fully heal.
Now, you take a look at some of these kind of holes that have been left by some of the graduating seniors that have been filled by some of these recruits. They pick up a pair of wide receivers, which adds to an already stacked lineup there on that end of the ball. A couple of offensive linemen, which are needed, a couple of linebackers, and then they move Solomon McGinty, one of the captains of this team, from safety over to linebacker. How do you think, how good of a job do you think they've done of kind of filling those holes and bringing in a couple of those guys, especially on, the offensive line of the linebacker position?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'm actually surprised they didn't grab another one or two offensive linemen just with all the struggles they had last year.
Me too.
If you remember, a lot of that was due to injuries. They had a lot of guys that got injured and missed time, extended periods of time during the season. They did bring in a guy, Tristan Schultz, on the offensive line. He's a postgraduate guy, spent 1 year postgraduate football this past year at Fork Union. So he's a little bit more mature. He's also in the program for the spring semester, so he'll have a chance to get some burn with them during spring practice and may even be able to contribute here in the fall. Then Cooper McCall, another guy who's not related to the new athletic director.
Yeah, that's the story around
McCall.
Here.
Yeah, but he's from Texas. He's a guy that had some Sun Belt level offers before he committed to Liberty, and kind of stayed true to his commitment. He committed way back at, the early fall, maybe September, October. He's got some good potential and upside, but those guys, I don't expect them to really be breaking into the starting lineup as true freshmen, unless there's a lot of injuries again. You mentioned the linebackers, having Solomon McGinty move over there because you got to replace Nick Newman and also Dexter Robbins, who now graduated. They were the starting linebackers last year, and you got a lot of inexperience behind them. Well, now you put Solomon McGinty there from the Spur hybrid linebacker safety position over to linebacker, and he kind of will head that class with some of the younger guys. The linebackers they got, Remington Green, Amari Jenkins, I would expect them to probably redshirt as well. They might get a chance at, breaking into rotation on special teams. But those are more guys that will probably, have to develop over the next couple of years and grow into their bodies a little bit more. But one of the big needs was at tight end. Lost three tight ends off this past year's team that have graduated. Liberty went out and got two tight ends in this class, Jerome Jackson out of Texas, and then Fidel Obafin. Tough to name to say, but
yeah, I got it spelled phonetically here.
Yeah, exactly. I do too. But these are both real big body guys, even as 17, 18 year olds coming out of high school. Obafin's only played 2 years of football, so Coach Daly and Gill both in the press conference earlier this week said that they both have the potential to grow into very special players and can make people miss once they catch the ball, out on the perimeter as tight ends. So I think that's one of the big places that they were able to fill a need, and I would expect at least one, if not both of those guys, to play coming up here in the fall in a few months.
Yeah, certainly a lot of different holes filled and a lot of different potential for guys to be shuffled around and redshirt and kind of stocked away for when they're needed. And that kind of seems to be the case at the quarterback position, where you have a mid-year enrollee in Mason Cunningham coming over from Northern Mississippi Community College, somebody that's kind of, has that maturity. And then we find out that Stephon Mosh has moved to wide receiver, and Buckshot Calvert already named the starting quarterback. So they're kind of just keeping some depth there. What do you like in Cunningham specifically about what he can add maybe in a couple of years and just kind of be that next man up on this quarterback roster? And what do you like about Mosh moving over, kind of the Terrell Pryor of Liberty football now?
Yeah, interesting scenario there. With Cunningham, it's interesting. He's a guy, like you mentioned, went to community college for 1 year, and so he's got three more years of eligibility, and he could use a redshirt year this year and then have 3 years after that. He's a smaller guy, dual threat, can run, can throw the ball on the run, and I think the expectation for Cunningham coming into the program is to kind of be a steadying force as a backup behind Buckshot. I mean, it is, Gil alluded to this in his press conference that it's Buckshot's job. He is a starting quarterback. There's no competition there, or no controversy or anything like that. So they look at Cunningham to be able to come in, be a little bit more experienced, and kind of steady the position and backup quarterback. Both him and Rudd Yerick, who redshirted last year, will be competing for that backup spot. With Mosha moving to wide receiver, that'll be interesting because, you would immediately think, he'll be able to play, but you got a lot of veteran, experienced receivers returning. So it's hard for me to imagine Mosha breaking in there and being able to play immediately. Maybe he will be, but I mean, you got guys like B.J. Farrow, Zach Parker, Damian King. Got some younger guys that didn't play too much last year, and Lionel McConnell redshirted. So you got a lot of weapons at wide receiver, and like you mentioned, you just get even more loaded there with Mosha there, and then also these two recruits coming in as freshmen.
Yeah, you certainly do. And one position that's kind of been loaded up on. A guy that Coach Gill and Coach Joe Daly were very, very excited about was Frank Boyd, 5'11", from Chesterfield, Virginia. They called him an exciting player who makes a jump cut and then makes bursts up the middle, and kind of something you don't see all too often in a guy of that size, but has great speed. How do you think he can complement the running backs? Already a long line of them, and we saw how good they all complemented each other this year.
Yeah, they've got a couple of senior running backs this year in the program, and Todd Macon and Carrington Mosley to kind of lead the way. Then also you got Frankie Hickson in there, so kind of a three-headed monster at running back. So I'd imagine Frank Boyd more than likely would redshirt this coming season. But then after that, it's wide open. You know, once Macon and Carrington Mosley move on, then it's Frankie Hickson and, Frank Boyd. So he'll definitely have an opportunity to play. And maybe not this year, like I said, but I did mention earlier, both he and DJ Stubbs are expected to make an impact in the return game. And for Boyd, like I mentioned, probably not this year, but he is a guy that will get his chance to play, kick return and punt returns.
Yeah, there was certainly a lot of emphasis in that press conference about, the return game and how they were really trying to bolster that and trying to get a couple of these guys involved immediately, maybe as, a secondary position, and then kind of work them in as they get older. Now, probably the most excited that the coaching staff was about a certain player was Jayod Sanders, defensive lineman from Tallahassee. They said FBS schools came after him. Compared him to Jawan Wells, they just had, leaps and bounds to say about him. When you look at this guy, being able to match up with Jawan on the line there and get him down there, kind of fill some of the holes that have been left by guys like Jerron Green, do you think he'll be able to make an immediate impact?
Yeah, it's interesting you picked up on that. I did as well. He's a guy that only had one reported offer prior to Liberty getting involved with him. That was from North Carolina Central. So he was, looked okay on tape. Kind of has the body a little bit raw, it looked like. But, Coach Gill and Wimberly both just, their jaws pretty much dropped when talking about him and think that they'll be able to, really mold him into being, that next great, pass rusher as a defensive end, like you've seen in Shima and Jawan Wells. So this is a guy that, has some great potential to be the next great Liberty defensive end, especially behind Vance Singletary, who's done a great job bringing in some top-notch recruits on the D-line, and he molds them into being all-conference-type performers.
All right, John. Well, we thank you always each and every year for coming on the show and breaking down, the situation with each and every recruit that comes to Liberty. Thank you very much. You can find John at aseaofred.com, tweeting and Facebooking the likes of whatever's happening here with Liberty Athletics. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks so much, Joe. Appreciate it.